Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Yesterday was the 15-year anniversary of the death of Mrs. Barbara Fleury. She was the wife of Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury, and she was my grandmother, too. Full disclosure there. If you listened to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show yesterday, you probably heard a lot about this woman, a real beauty, someone who really did give her life and everything she had to do the work. And she really was passionate about God's family. Well, there is an article from the November 2004 Philadelphia Trumpet, and it is titled A Real Beauty. This is written by Mr. Stephen Fleury, who is Mrs. Barbara Fleury's son. He says here, "Holding it together at your mother's funeral isn't easy, particularly when you're giving the eulogy. The video montage of her life helped in that regard. The pictures I saw made me smile. Shots of my mother and father in Hawaii with my sister and me in tow, family portraits, dinner dances, speech banquets, vacations. They all brought back such wonderful memories. But I nearly lost it at the last photo, the one displayed right before I spoke. It was my mom's senior picture from high school. I'd seen it before, but not like this. As I sat in the audience, staring at this picture, it dawned on me that this beautiful, healthy-looking teenager who would later bring me into the world was now dead." I was actually there at that funeral, and that's the only one in my entire life where I've just truly been bawling throughout, just the entire time, could not stop crying. I was only 11 years old at the time and didn't understand really as well as I do now what happens after death. I didn't have that hope, and so I was just distraught at that time to lose a grandmother who was really involved in my life basically every day. Thankfully, now though, now that I know more, that's not how I react at a funeral. This is what Mr. Fleury continues in this article. "I never saw her at that time in her life, but I did see her the night she died, and she didn't look much like that photo. Her skin had wrinkled over the years, her hair turned gray. The massive strokes she had in the months before she died marred her appearance all the more. Right toward the end, jaundice had set in, and her body was swollen with fluid." I do remember this really well, too. She actually lived with my parents. My mother is Mrs. Barbara Fleury's daughter, and so she was living with my parents at the end of her life. She didn't have the ability to speak, and a lot of the time when I was just young, just running around the house, she would maybe just grunt in my direction, try to get my attention by making a noise, and I would come over, and she would try to gesture with her one good hand to tell me what she wanted, and I really had a hard time understanding what she was asking for, and I could just see sometimes, you know, in her eyes, she really just wanted to convey a message and just couldn't do it, and sometimes it would make her cry, and it would make me cry before I went on doing what I was doing. Just a really emotional time. We had a ramp built into our garage so that she could be wheeled up the ramp and into the house. And basically, she just stayed in our front guest room, the second floor of our house, until she died. This is what Mr. Stephen Fleury continues in this article. "What a contrast to the physical beauty Western culture is so obsessed with. We glamorize beauty, among women especially, as if good looks and a youthful appearance are all that matters. In this world, physical beauty is almost everything, as attested to by the billions we spend each year on our looks." A little bit further down here, he says, even teenagers, thanks in part to popular reality shows and celebrities and models who keep getting younger, are joining the ranks of those willing to pay big bucks to alter their look or to delay the aging process everyone eventually goes through. That is quite a contrast to the way God looks at aging. He sees aging as a beautiful thing. He says that having a hoary head or a head with gray and white hair is worthy of much respect. It should be something that elderly people are proud of. But yet the world tries to make it so that the elderly are almost ashamed of that inevitable aging process. Mr. Fleury continues, "Now, obviously, God wants us to be physically healthy and fit. He wants us to take care of ourselves, even our appearance. But just think of how different this world would be if we paid as much attention to inner beauty as we do outer beauty. Peter compared life in the flesh to a blade of grass or a flower." That's in 1 Peter 1, verses 24 through 25. "So life is so short. A blade of grass can burn up in the sun in one day. A flower can be plucked up, or an animal could eat it, and it's gone just like that. They have a very short lifespan. And, of course, humans live longer than those normally. But compared to God, it's really like the equivalent of him blinking, and we're already gone. The human life is like a vapor, as the Apostle James said in James 4, verse 14. Life is so short, and so we don't want to be focused so much on physical beauty. Even when my grandmother suffered those major strokes that left her unable to speak, unable to move half of her body, she was still very beautiful. And somewhat physically, she had taken a hit, like part of her face drooped a little bit, but even physically, she was still beautiful. You could still tell what she had looked like in that photo as a teenager that my uncle mentioned here in this article. You could still tell the beauty of her younger days before all these strokes hit her. But more than that, just the spiritual beauty, that was always obvious being around her. I could just tell how much it pained her that she couldn't get up and interact with her grandchildren as much as she once did. That's why she would cry from time to time in our house. She couldn't communicate with us. She couldn't get up and take us to the mall or to the park or out to get ice cream like she used to. And that was tough for her. I remember times when I was younger, and there was a moment there where one family that we knew was going through a divorce, and the father had to drop his children off before work at our home every day. And my mother would watch his children as well as us. And my grandmother would come over every day and talk with those children and do anything she could to take their minds off of what they were going through with their own physical families. And I remember back then, I was obviously quite selfish as a young child. This is probably when I was only like 7 or 8 years old or something like that. But I just always thought, wow, every day she comes in here, she buys the girl a new dress, or she buys the boy a football. Every single day, it seemed like she would buy them something new. She would stop at the mall, buy them something, and then give it to them. And it wasn't quite the same with us. We were not her own grandchildren. We were not receiving gifts that often. And so at the time, I remember having a little bit of jealousy about that. But of course, she understood how much that could help them through what they were experiencing in their home lives, and how beautiful that example was. She knew that her own grandchildren were still blessed with a strong physical family. They still had father and mother in the home to love them. These children were missing out on that. So she did whatever she could to ease that pain. And even as she had a lot of pain, a lot of heart problems over the years, she still was doing everything she could to serve other people. I remember other times if she would take us out for ice cream or something like that, if we grandchildren started bickering a little bit, it would hurt her heart. Her heart would start to race. She'd have to sit down. She'd start hiccuping rapidly, and it did hurt her. And it seemed like sometimes as children, we were a bit too selfish to make her feel better in those types of situations. So even though she was dealing with these things and suffering physically, she was always focused on trying to make the lives of other people better. Here in the Edmond congregation of the PCG, she would find out that certain people needed clothes or furniture or anything like that. She'd ride her bike over to their house and spend time with them and buy things for them. Really just a giver every moment of her physical life. She only lived about 60 years, and it was cut short by physical health trials. And yet she really did make the most of her time. In this article, again, this is titled A Real Beauty. You can find this at thetrumpet.com, and it's in the November 2004 Philadelphia Trumpet. It's Mr. Stephen Fleury writing, and I'll put this in the show notes as well. He continues here. Let's see. My mother's 40-year career was in marriage and family. My sister would tell you this same thing. Mom was always involved in our lives. For me, she was involved in my life when I was a little boy. As a teenager, even on into my adulthood, she left a permanent mark on my life, showing me what it meant to give, to serve and give, even to the point of real sacrifice. She taught me about love, about authority and submission. She gave my life direction. She made my upbringing fun. She said she had such a wonderful laugh. So I could definitely second that sentiment there. Just the powerful impact that she left. Over the years, I've asked Mr. Gerald Fleury about her, and he doesn't usually say much more than just to praise the type of mother and wife she was. Just totally dedicated to her family, sacrificing all the time, sacrificing meals, sacrificing sleep, sacrificing her own personal preferences to serve her own family. And that's certainly what all of us experienced and benefited from for many years. It's hard to believe it's already been 15 years that she's been gone as of yesterday. She did set a powerful example. She was the first lady of the PCG. And a lot of people today still remember her fondly because she did reach out to other people. She would be the one reaching out to anyone who was quiet or lonely or in need. Now, she died, and obviously she hadn't been healed yet of the strokes she suffered, of her heart condition that she had to deal with her whole life. A lot of critics would say, well, how can God really always be willing to heal? How can it always be God's will to heal if something like that happens, if you have loved ones die of unnatural causes? Well, there's a great booklet available at thetrumpet.com. It's titled The Plain Truth About Healing. This was written by the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong. And it is a powerful booklet. This is a booklet that makes plain God's healing doctrine. There's a lot of confusion about that, and it's one of the very first things that the Worldwide Church of God changed after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. His successors in the church immediately started to deceive the people about God's healing doctrine. They tried to shake people's faith in God's absolute will to heal. They tried to make people doubt whether God really would heal them personally. Here's a great story, a personal experience from Mr. Armstrong on page 48 of this booklet. And this is in chapter 5. It's titled, Is Healing Always God's Will? That's an extremely important question we need to answer. Page 48 of this The Plain Truth About Healing booklet. I had been called to the bedside of an elderly lady for anointing and prayer for healing. If I anoint you and pray for God to heal you, will you believe? Will you be sure that you will be healed? I merely wanted assurance that she believed God. Well, she replied, I know God can heal me if it's his will, but I can't be sure of his will. Well, I responded, it's too bad that you don't know whether it is God's will to forgive all your sins so you might be saved. Oh, I know it's his will to forgive my sins and give me salvation, she hastened to reply. Oh, yes, I continued. You know you can rely on God's promise in Psalm 103, which I will read. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. You really know he will from that scripture, do you? Yes, I can rely on that promise with no doubts whatsoever. Well, I pursued, will you read with your own eyes the rest of that same sentence? I handed to her my Bible, open to Psalm 103, verse 3, and she read aloud, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. How does it come, I asked with a smile, that you really believe the first half of that verse, but not the last half? Well, I guess, she said, I just never noticed that God's promise to heal is given right alongside his promise of forgiving sin. The woman then believed she was healed. That does show us these promises of physical healing and spiritual healing go together. They are inextricably linked. You can't have one without the other. God says he'll do it, he will do it. And that's why I haven't cried like I did when I was 11 at Mrs. Barbara Fleury's funeral. Because since that time, I've learned the truth about healing. It doesn't always happen before physical death. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says that all men die. We're all appointed one time to die. And then after that comes the resurrection. That's where the healing doctrine really is completed, with the resurrection. You can see a lot more about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or chapter 15, among other places. There's a resurrection from the dead. That's the ultimate healing. That's when human beings will have a chance to never have a physical body again. If they choose to live the right way in this life, they can be resurrected as spirit beings. And if they never knew God in this life, they can be resurrected, prove themselves in this physical life, and then be transformed into spirit beings. There are various resurrections. There's a lot more detail on that throughout PCG literature, and you can prove that for yourself. But there is hope in a resurrection. And that applies to absolutely every person who has ever lived. It doesn't matter what kind of a heinous supervillain they might have been in this physical life, or how great someone might have been. Every person, after dying that one time, will have a chance at one of the resurrections. That's the real hope. That's the real fulfillment of the healing promise. Now, God does work a lot of miracles to heal people physically in this life right now. But even in cases where that does not happen, those people who then die will have a chance to be resurrected. And ultimately, that's when they'll be healed. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the last enemy to be conquered being death. Humans will eventually conquer death. People try so hard right now to do anything they can to extend their physical lives. And yet they're not trying hard enough to secure for themselves an abundant spiritual life. That's what really counts. That is real life. This physical life is just a training ground. There's a spiritual life that is so much greater coming very soon. That's where our hope is. That's why, if you've ever been to a PCG memorial service, you have probably noticed that there aren't a bunch of people crying uncontrollably the entire time. that's pretty different from most other places you'll see. People are not grieving for weeks and months and years over the loss of loved ones, because we know that we'll see them again. That's the beauty of physical death, if you could call it that. There is beauty in that, because it means that physical pain and suffering and weakness and sickness and disease is over forever for those people. Strokes, heart attacks, things that my grandmother had to deal with, she will not have to deal with when she is resurrected. She will be healed of those infirmities, because she'll be spirit, and she won't spirit beings don't have to deal with those things. So this really is a fantastic booklet. You can find it for free at thetrumpet.com, The Plain Truth About Healing. And also in the show notes, we'll put this article, A Real Beauty. So again, yesterday, the 15-year anniversary of PCG First Lady Barbara Fleury. Just a wonderful time to review her life, as well as God's promise of healing, because she will be healed one day very soon. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.